What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you.
Shout out to our friends over at Captain Beard Co. Guys, if you are looking for beard care products, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, give Captain Beard Co. a try. They have this unbelievable beard butter, balm, oils, and then it smells amazing. Ladies, if you're looking for something for your men as a gift to help with their grooming, check them out. Also, if you guys are looking to just set the mood one night, candles, unbelievably smelling candles made with all natural ingredients here locally to St. Louis. Give them a shot. Also, while you're there, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase.
Hey there, guys. Really appreciate you checking out the Zach and Pat Show. If you can obviously tell, we are a newer podcast, but one way we're really trying to grow the show is trying to get up the amount of subscribers we have. So, you know, if you're watching the show and you're getting something out of it, we'd really appreciate it if you could click that subscribe button. That would help us out a ton. Please click that button. And now back to the show. We have a very special guest here in studio. This is someone I've worked with for a long time, my whole real estate career. He's been my photographer. He's shot pretty much every listing I've ever done in the last 5 years. The great and powerful Jason Metropoulos from Metrospect Media. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time. And, you know, just want to kind of start off, obviously you're a photographer. You know, when did you get your first camera?
Oh, well, first camera I stole from my dad. Yeah. So that would have been like, I don't know, five.
Five? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Young.
So, yeah. And then funny story, I was using my dad's camera, didn't even record. I just used it to like learn composition. At the time, I didn't know what I was doing. That's what I was learning. I just love having cameras and stuff. My brother took it, smashed it.
Oh, no.
In front of me.
Just threw it on the ground?
Yeah, and I bought one of them. I upgraded at the time, and I bought a new one like for my dad on the garage sale that my dad was selling. He smashed it because he was mad that I got it. And he had to give me his camera, his video camera. And that's when I could actually start recording things.
And so how old were you when this happened?
I was probably like 8 at that point.
Holy shit. So you started really fucking
up. Oh, yeah. I've been in love with cameras since a kid. I always played. Yeah.
Damn.
I've been making movies like ever since like middle school.
Really?
Before like YouTube was cool.
Okay. Very cool. Damn.
Just stuck with it though. Right?
Damn it. Didn't come up with YouTube.
Yeah. Shit, dude.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So then, you know, how did you kind of get into it as a, you know, that was a hobby. Obviously it started as a hobby. How did it get into, you know, how did you become a professional? Like how did you start, you know, doing it and getting paid to do it?
Yeah. So to kind of sum it all up, so I actually wanted to move out to LA and work in the film industry. That was my goal all my life as a kid. I made movies all the time in high school and stuff like that. And I started my high school broadcast. But then in college, in high school, I started filming weddings for fun and to make some money.
Okay.
So my uncle at the time, my cousin was getting married, and he's like, hey, do you want to film the wedding? I'll pay you. I was like, well, I've been saving up to buy a new video camera. So I did that. He paid me a couple $100 at the time, I think.
Wow.
And I started
what
filming,
a deal.
Yeah. And I started filming weddings from that as just like a side hustle to make money in high school.
In high school. Okay.
Yeah. And then in college, I went to film school and I took an LA class. It was called like LA Careers. And
you go out to where'd you go to film school?
Webster University. Okay. Yeah. So I went out there for like a week or two, got to learn the industry, meet with a bunch of people from like 20th Century Fox, Nickelodeon, like Webster grads that moved out there, learned about the whole process. And that's when I realized I really didn't want to move out there.
Yeah. What made you not want to move to LA?
You know, I honestly love it out in California. I just like St. Louis better. I knew
said not many people ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's great out there. It's warm and stuff. And there's so many cool things to do out there, but it wasn't the lifestyle I wanted. I didn't want to work my ass off, be stuck in traffic for 4 hours a day. Just to live in an apartment with 7 other guys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound ideal.
Yeah. And then hopefully one day if I work really hard and make good money, I could have one kid, in a small apartment with my wife, you know, so I'm like, no, it's just not, I wanted the Midwest life.
Yeah.
So hopefully one day I want to have like a big house and stuff. So So yeah, I just, and then at the time I was running my business. So I've been filming weddings for 17 years now.
Shit. Dude.
Yeah. That's so crazy. Which is crazy. Cause last year we did over like 100 weddings.
Oh wow. That's so a lot.
It's a lot. We do like 3 weddings a weekend.
Jeez.
That's crazy. So, and I don't shoot them all. I have a team.
I was going to say, what's your company structure or team structure look like?
So like weddings, a lot of them we use like, you know, independent contractors, but I've trained them. So everyone works with me before they can ever shoot for Metrospect. And then we have 3 full-time people that work for me. So a lot of times the full-time people take lead spots on weddings and we use the second as like a freelancer to help out, but they've been shooting like everyone that like, does weddings, has been shooting weddings for a couple of years now.
It's so awesome.
That's been good. But yeah, so I went out to LA and I was like, this isn't for me. I knew I could be successful out there because I want to be a director of photography. But at the time I took like a business class at Webster too. And I'm like, man, I actually like learning about marketing and like even accounting was kind of interesting to me. So I was like, I'm just
again, not said by many.
Yeah, yeah, no, I actually find accounting interesting, but like I struggle to understand it sometimes. Yeah. There's a lot of terminology there. So yeah, I just was like, all right, that's it. I'm going to get my business degree too at Webster. And so my lesson year, I got my just like a business entrepreneurship certificate, took a couple more business classes and I was like, all right, that's it. I'm going to keep growing my business and that's what I'm going to do. So yeah. And from there, that would have been about 8 years ago. That's when I really officially made Metrospect a company. That's when we got our own, like when I moved out, I got my first office space, and really started growing from there and started hiring my first employees. Well, and growing.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how did you start? Like, what was the first steps in starting Metrospect? And where did the name come from, first of all?
Oh, so the name has changed over the years.
Okay.
At one point, it was called Greek Squad Videos. That was the high school version. Okay. Which it is funny. I've actually had like people I shot their weddings and they're like, they remember that name. And I'm like, that's funny.
It's not an easy one to forget.
Yeah. But I want to do something. I always liked the name Retrospect. That's what I wanted to do, but that was taken. I was like, why don't I just make plan word of it? Just use part of my last name.
Yeah.
So I did, Metrospect Media.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
Just always curious where that came from.
Yeah, and I knew I couldn't do my full last name because no one can spell it.
Yeah, I had to like look it up. You know, I had to, like when I was
good strong Greek name.
Yeah,
very Greek. Yeah,
yeah, very Greek.
Wait, so that wedding you shot, was that like my big fat Greek wedding? That was a movie. That's what you came up with.
No,
I've done that one.
I've actually done a lot of Greek weddings, and it's funny because like I mean, I'm Greek, so I can say it. We're very like, yeah, kind of like that movie, but they're all good people.
Sure.
And my mom always says like our wedding was just like that movie.
Really?
They got married in a Greek church and a Catholic church.
Oh, wow.
So two weddings, one day, one wedding dress, I guess. Oh. So, yeah.
So how did, beginning early stages of Metrospect, what did that look like?
Early stages was in my mom's basement. Trying to save money. I invested every single dollar I got in my equipment. I've never been someone to like spend money on like cars or like personal items. I try to always put in my business. And then I knew like to grow it, I need to hire an editor. That's like the hardest part.
Is the editing?
Yeah. Cause like you spend an hour shooting or you can make like 3 videos out of that. And that takes even more time. But keeping up with the editing was really hard. And I even learned that in college. So I had to take a semester off at when I was in St. Louis Community College for my first year of college. And because I got so overwhelmed, I went from doing like 5 weddings the year before to 30.
Oh.
And I couldn't keep up with the edit. Yeah. And I thought I could.
Just you at the time?
Yeah, it was just me. And I was trying to go to school full time, work a part time job, and edit. And I was like, this is not possible. Which it really ended up being like, it was one of my biggest like failures in life. And I hurt the company at the time because I actually fell so far behind, on my edits. And I mean, I was still learning. I was a teenager basically, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, I have to hire someone to help me. I took a semester off college just to get caught up in my edits and get my videos to my clients. So I know, and I had it was pretty bad, guys. So my mom actually had to sit me down. She's like, you got to call these clients. And at the time I was like so scared to tell people that I need more time to edit because I didn't want to disappoint them.
Sure.
If I was really disappointing them by not communicating. So I learned then that communication with your clients is like the biggest thing you can do to grow. And which is what I'm really proud of, like Metrospect, like we get compliments all the time now. we always get back to people within like 2 hours if they ever like send us an email and stuff. I have actually hired my sister full time to actually handle emails and stuff.
Oh, you guys are great. I mean, yeah. So anytime I need a questions, like I get an answer almost immediately.
Yeah. So we're very on top of it. We even have like built a website now. They can just book stuff online.
So obviously started out, tell me, what was it like hiring your first employee?
It was nerve wracking because I'm like, okay, now I'm responsible for someone else, not just my salary. Cause at the time, like, sure, I had a car payment and stuff, but I was living at my mom's house and stuff. I wasn't too scared. But when I hired someone, I'm like, okay, now I got to worry about them. And it took a while because, you know, you have to like manage people. And I don't mean like I control every second of their lives. So I'm like, okay, I got to make sure they're working on what we need to get done. So it was definitely a learning curve and stuff.
I'm sure.
So, yeah, I mean, but I think I'm pretty good. I used to be a supervisor at Bethesda Health Group.
Okay.
At a retirement home.
You had some management experience.
Yeah. So I like was in charge of a team of 12 people. So,
yeah.
So I don't know. It was pretty good. The hardest thing with it, like editing, like the way I edit is like, I don't know. I'm not a fast editor, but I'm very precise and I very much care about the edit almost too much, which is kind of a problem when it comes to editing because you're never getting anything done.
Right. If you're, you know, if you spend too much time trying to make every little thing perfect.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, like real estate videos and like photography and stuff, everyone wants it next day.
Yeah.
So you can't spend 12
hours. I expect it next day. Yeah. No, just fucking around.
Yeah.
No, but it's true. How did you get into real estate photography? I know you kind of, was it like, I know you're working with a lot of the Sotheby's people, and then is that kind of how it began?
Yeah. Or? So what happened was when I was in at Webster, so when I was getting my business certificate, the CEO and head of marketing at Dealman Sotheby's was at my, I had to do a business plan presentation in front of a bunch of business owners and like business people, and they were there and they were really impressed by my business presentation. And I was the only person actually getting an entrepreneurship like degree that had a business. Everyone else is like, yeah, after college, I'm going to start a business.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you want to start a business, start now. What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for?
Yeah. Even if it's on a small scale, you know? So they were really impressed. And he's like, hey, I said one of our problems was I wanted an office space because I'm not a person that can work from home. It's always been a struggle with me. I like to separate my work life and my home life as best I can, which, as you guys know, like running your own business and stuff, there is no such thing as you're off. Like,
never.
Truly.
Yeah, no, right. Never really.
Always working.
Yeah.
No, right. I totally agree with that because I'm just now kind of getting that ever since we got this new space. I've been working out of my house and coffee shops and going into, you know, our big office every once in a while. But, you know, over the last 5 years, that's what I've done. And it's, you know, I've been successful with it. But now actually having a place to go every day that I can kind of like separate work from home has been really, really helpful to me. And it's just kind of like that separation. When I'm home, I can be home. And when I'm here, I can work, you know, and it's been huge for me, I think. And I wish I would have done it a lot sooner.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was definitely something I was super happy when I did it. But yeah, I mean, Dealman offered me a really good deal to rent out one of their spaces in their office.
I didn't know you worked right in their office.
Yeah. Okay. I was literally in their office space. Cool. So they gave me a little like corner room and it was great. It was in Clayton. Yeah. Couldn't complain. Right, I loved it. Great. It was so good to me there. And they didn't have any stipulations like you can only work for them or anything like that.
That's cool.
I think the big thing was they wanted to push more video at the time. And this is 8 years ago when like real estate videography just was just starting.
Yeah.
So they were like, yeah, we want our agents to get on this. We know this is the future. So they liked it. And then I did some like in-house videos for them. And I did some like marketing videos, which made them look really great because no one else at the time and no other agencies were doing it.
Mm.
So it was a good partnership. And I was there for 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually just moved out of the space and they eventually gave me more space and stuff in there. We were able to grow a little bit more, but it was just to the point we had too many team members and we were getting too big, too much equipment. Like my basement, I have a bunch of equipment. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I can't put everything in the office. So we did end up getting a space in Maryland Heights. And yeah, that's where the office is now.
Right?
Yeah. That was maybe 2 years ago in August.
Yeah.
So pretty new still. Yeah,
it's great, man.
Yeah, and
Dealman's off me. I mean, you're shooting some pretty nice homes.
Yeah,
yeah. Ted and I'll do Ted. Ted always has the coolest listings.
Yeah, he's got some cool ones.
Hell yeah! What's the coolest house you've ever shot?
Oh, that's tough. Because I shot a house in Kansas City that looked like a castle. Really? I think it was like $12 million.
Holy shit!
And they paid me to stay in a hotel and come out there and shoot this,
dude.
This would have been probably 5 years ago.
Wow.
Because again, it wasn't me. There's not. I mean, there's a lot more people now that do real estate videography. Not back then. There wasn't many of us.
Yeah.
And that could do it good, you know? So yeah, I went out there. That was really cool. I mean, I spent all day shooting that house, I did the photos too. It took me 8 hours.
I'm sure.
It was
How big was that thing?
I think it was 14,000 square feet.
Holy shit.
Wow. Yeah. One person lived there with her brother.
Whoa.
Wait, and then a butler lived there full time. And then they had a maid that came like every day, but she didn't live there. The homeowner was only there like 3 weeks out of the year.
What the fuck's the point of having
what?
Why, like, just because? Nah, geez.
Yeah, that's I do think if I remember right, her husband like passed away. So she was like, I'm going to sell it. Yeah. She was spending all of her time in New York. But yeah, the place was insane. But they had so much trouble selling that place because they built this like $12 million mansion next to like $1 million houses in this like neighborhood. And they're like, well, the super rich don't want to live next to just the rich people.
Right. Yeah. Just the regular rich.
Yeah. They want to live.
Just goes to tell you, never have the nicest house in the subdivision.
Yes.
Yeah. You never want to have the nicest house in the, never have the nicest house on the street.
That's, And for $12 million, like you can build a new house. I feel like. And they'd rather just
do a lot of things.
You could build a couple houses with $12 million. Especially
a fucking neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in fucking Missouri, man. Like, wow.
It's
so
incredible.
When did you, so, you know, obviously you started with primarily doing video for weddings and stuff. When did you kind of switch to doing photography?
Yeah.
Just photos and stuff. Is that something you kind of always did with it? Or is that, I know those are kind of two separate.
I mean,
they're in the same ballpark, but kind of two different sports, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you break it down, they're pretty similar, but they are different in many ways. And it's really, I always say it's more in the editing work. Personally, I think like the way editing photos, in my opinion, is a little bit easier. And it's easier to teach people to edit than video when there's like audio. You get to work in the music. There's more layers to it. Not saying that editing photos is easy, but they are coming out with AI that can help with photo editing.
That's something I was going to get.
There's not a whole lot with video yet. So,
But I'm sure it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
So the switch was when I started doing Dealman, after a year of shooting just real estate videos, I had a huge demand for photography. Because everybody just wanted to hire one person that could do both. So I started messing around with real estate photography, and I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, you do a great job.
Yeah.
How do you make the houses look so big?
Yeah, a wide-angle lens.
Yeah, wide-angle lens, baby.
Yeah.
But I always say real estate photographers are like magicians. You know, that's like my little line that I always say whenever I'm showing houses. Because like,
never trust the photograph.
Yeah, because people get in houses and like, oh, it looks great. It doesn't feel as big as it looked in the photo.
Yeah. And it's not just the lens, you know, like it's, you know, obviously the editing. And I think a good photographer versus a great photographer. A good photographer, they know how to like evenly edit the lighting, make it look nice and stuff. But a great photographer takes the time to move stuff. Like when I shoot a house, I see a trash can or a plunger in the damn bathroom, I move it.
Dude, that's one of the things that you guys do that like it's huge to me. Like Ben, who shoots a lot of my beer guy, Ben, like he knows like if there's a trash can or if there's a, you know, I'm always, you know, in there just making sure, but he's always good at making sure he like knows all my little pet peeves at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and it's great, you know, and obviously you know them too, cause you've shot a ton of them too, but you know, as we know, you're a busy guy. You can't shoot every single house.
Yeah.
So, Ben's great. I've gotten to know him pretty well over the years.
Yeah. Even with that, my employees have gone so far to move an adult diaper off a bed.
Whoa.
That was used.
Gross.
It was gross. I was like, why did you move it? I would never make you move that.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you always see move stuff. I'm like, no, you don't have to move a diaper.
Not that. Not a shitty diaper.
Well, you told us about the coolest ones, and we've heard some horror stories from Zach touring houses. What's the weirdest thing you've come across?
I mean, I've done a lot of like, it seems like meth houses, honestly.
Really?
Like, I've done a house.
Ben shot one for me.
Yeah.
Me and Ben were like, all right, dude, let's get out of here.
We actually have a real estate client, and he gets like the wildest houses, and they're all over Missouri. Like we go to Jefferson City, Columbia, Kansas City, and he pays well, and like he pays us to travel. He understands that it's a lot, and there's not really real estate photographers in the middle of nowhere, Missouri. So we go out there, and sometimes we'll shoot these houses though, and they have like part of the roof is gone and stuff. But I think he like really takes them and like he flips the houses and stuff.
Sure.
He's always having us go
advertising it to people that want to flip it.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's I've had to shoot some of those before, and I'm just like, you know, like I I'm like, make it look as good as you can, you know, yeah. Like, you know, try to not get that big old stain on the wall over there.
Avoid the blood stain.
You know, let's avoid the blood stains and the trash and the whatever else.
The body outline. We're going to cover that up with
the dirty needles and the.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah, she shot some messed up. Well, now I'm sure you've been to a ton of weddings at this point. Mm-hmm. Was there like one that kind of sticks out as far? Actually, what's the craziest wedding, like most extravagant wedding you think you've ever been to?
Oh, that's tough. I've definitely done like a couple $100,000 weddings. I mean, I did one in Hawaii, which was awesome.
They flew you out there?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Flew me out,
stayed out there. So that was great.
Maybe we picked the wrong profession.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to the Key West to shoot another wedding this, in March.
Sweet.
Very so, cool. And they're paying for my travel and all that.
Dude,
so
that's incredible.
Yeah. So I travel a little bit. I've done one in California, Minnesota, Mexico, which was a great one. And those, like, the Mexico one wasn't, like, crazy expensive or anything, but it's fun to travel. Sure.
So no, like these, a little vacation for you, too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're working.
Well, that's a, you know, people think that, and it's not a vacation. Because, like, also.
Yeah, you're working, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, like, well, it's so much you have to do. And, like,
when you're bringing everything
I couldn't imagine trying to get all your stuff across the border and down.
Going to Mexico is terrifying.
Oh, man.
Because I'm, like.
Packing all your stuff, and, you know, it's obviously very fragile, and, you know, it's expensive, and. Yeah, like, man, getting knocked around on the plane.
Right, and you're traveling through all this stuff and carrying this stuff around. Now just putting a target on your back, too.
Sure. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, Mexico's probably the only one I'm, like, worried of, like, going through because I only know exactly the rules. So maybe I shouldn't say this here, but, like, filming weddings there. But I'm like, well, they're Americans. They're paying to get their wedding out there, you know. Sure. And the resorts charge, like, fees and stuff to bring your own vendors.
Mm. Now, are you getting hooked up with these through, like, wedding planners? Or are these things that, like, people come to you and find you and, like, no, we want you to come to our weddings?
Yeah. So, honestly, most of our, like, 95% of our weddings is just word of mouth.
Okay.
And it's usually a past couple we shot, someone's friend, you did someone's friend's wedding, you know, of what a lot of wedding photographers recommend us because they know we don't do wedding photography and they know we work well with people. It's amazing how many wedding videographers don't work well with photographers. I'm like,
really?
It's really not that hard. Just be respectful, you know?
Yeah.
And like I train my people and I think, cause I take the time to actually literally train our videographers, like, look at their camera. Look at the lens they're using. If they're on a 7200, something really tight, they're shooting super close. So you can get closer to the couple. You look at the lens. If they're on like a 24 or something, they're shooting wide. So then you need to step back, give them more room. And I usually let the photographers like do their job. And then I'll run in like, hey, I'm going to just do a quick shot. And I'm ready to go. Like it takes me 10 seconds. I get my shot. And like, if you've seen my work, it's really good. Yeah. And so... Not to brag, but
you must be if you got people flying you all over the country. Well, shit, all over the world.
Yeah.
To shoot their weddings. That's incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I think it's just we'll work well with people. I always, you know, I had my uncle always said, you always want to give people more than what they paid for. Mm-hmm. So I always like try to like when I do a wedding, you know, I charge a reasonable price and I'm giving them way more than what other people charge or stuff. But so,
totally agree. I mean, as far as like what you charge for real estate photography, like it's so reasonable. And like, people have asked me that before, like, hey, what does your guy charge? And I always, you know, say roughly, it depends on the size of the house, yada, yada, yada. But it's usually between this and this. And, you know, people are always shocked to find that out. And like, oh, it's pretty, it's very reasonable. And, that's amazing.
You know, it's wild. Last week I had a real estate agent call me and I told him our prices. He's like, he was like drawn out and his like response to that. I'm like, oh, does he think I'm really expensive? I'm like, we're on the standard of what the market charges in 100%. St. Louis. And he's like, how do you survive with such cheap prices? I was like, hey, thanks for actually calling that out. It is like, I mean, real estate, I think a lot of people get into real estate thinking it's like, you know, super profitable. It's not crazy profitable. But you have to do a lot of work. And that's like, luckily we've expanded so much that we do a lot of listings a week. So we do make a good profit.
Plus the turnaround time.
Yeah. Plus the turnaround.
You need those quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the COVID switched in the way the market changed kind of helped you out. I know it did with me.
Yeah.
Like before I get a call from a client, I need to get a pre-approval done that day.
Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, we can actually take the time and work that pre-approval and like really coach and consult with buyers now and get them prepared because the market, the house isn't hitting the market until Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, I guess that might help you as well, you know, go out Monday, get it to them by Friday.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, all of our photos are turned around in 24 hours and video. And we have some clients that need the same day. And like, we're happy to do that. We just charge a little extra fee. And like, we try not to shoot weekends because, you know, we try to keep weekends off of the family.
Oh, smart.
And weddings.
Except for weddings. Right. Yeah. I would say weddings.
That's your bread and butter right there.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, what portion of your business is weddings? Would you say like it's gotta be a huge portion of it, right?
It's probably 50%.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Less than I thought.
Yeah. So it's definitely our biggest portion. But we actually do a lot of corporate commercial work, content video for people. So that's it. And then real estate is probably 20%.
Okay.
And that's like probably based off revenue. If you went to our workload at the office, you'd be like, well, it's probably like 50% real estate.
Really?
And like,
it takes so much time.
Yeah. And it's like 40%, weddings. And then you would think like the rest is just the corporate videos. But, yeah.
So when you say corporate videos, what do you mean by that? Commercials or like,
yeah, like training videos. Like I did a video for Best Buy once, and it was like one of the videos on the display for Samsung.
Oh, okay.
I shot like their new laptop that came out one time. So stuff like that, stuff that's like played in lobbies, business videos for like, you know, come and meet this company and like learn about us and stuff. Recruitment videos. I did a recruitment video for Franklin County Sheriff's Office.
Cool.
Which was awesome. One of my favorite shoots.
Really? Why is that?
Because they had me work with the SWAT team. Oh, and we got to do like a raid on a motel. And they had the dogs and stuff.
So you're just like following these guys around with the camera?
Yeah. And they actually blew open the door. Like, yeah, we're going to do explosives. The weirdest thing was they actually patted us down and like searched us.
Just to make sure you guys weren't.
Well, they said they wanted to make sure there's nothing like that could cause it to trigger the device or something. Yeah. So you could like see everything. I was like, I was thrown off by that. I'm like, I've never been patted down in my life.
Yeah.
I'd like trouble. To do that again.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a bonus.
No. Yeah.
So that was really cool. And honestly, like, I don't know, like, I know cops are very, you know, like all those people are super nice and stuff. And I don't know much about like the political stuff when it comes with like the Franklin County Sheriff's Office, but all the guys are there were super nice. And then they have a hard job. So,
yeah.
And I mean, as a, you know, especially us guys, we love the toys and stuff. Yeah. Like seeing an armored vehicle and stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty
and
cool,
all the guns,
you know?
And all the cool stuff in there. Yeah.
Yeah. They have like an armored Hummer and stuff. I'm like, this is cool.
That's pretty badass.
It was a fun shoot. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
Damn. That's awesome. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, do you any like the artsy side of things where like nature, still, you know, photos like that that you're submitting for like stuff like that? Do you do things like that?
I used to. Yeah. My goal was to take like part of a revenue and like make movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still have that, like, you know, I am a filmmaker. And I still want to make some movies. I've gotten so busy of work that I have less time, especially during COVID. Once COVID happened, I really stopped doing so much like film stuff and like passion projects, I should say. It's not as much now. But I do. So I get to travel a lot with my wife. So I make some really cool travel videos.
That's awesome.
So yeah, and she works for Merit's travel global events.
That helps.
Yeah. So she's like she does incentive like travel incentive plans and stuff for clients. So a lot of times she has to go out and like we just went to Italy. So I got to go with her and like film everything.
That's so cool.
I got the problem is though I never have time to edit the video.
Now you can expense it.
Like, yeah.
You know what? This is a write off.
Yeah. So, and then we're going to Greece in August.
Damn.
Oh,
so have you been there before?
I was there. I've been there when I was 7.
Okay.
And actually family there. So I'm like, Facebook friends with them. So I'm actually gonna go meet them. I'm like, I don't speak Greek though, but I know one of my cousins and his name's Tyke.
Tyke.
Very Greek name.
Yeah.
He speaks English. So we're going to go meet up with him and stuff. I'm like, this is cool. Like
which island?
So they're in Athens.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
So,
just the history over there is Greece has always been a place that I've wanted to get to, just to do the island hopping, you know, Santorini, Mykonos, Athens.
Like, yeah.
Just looks so beautiful over there.
Yeah. I mean, I know it was awesome when I was 7, but I was 7.
Right. You're 7.
Now you can like really appreciate it.
At the time I was just like, look at these. It's hot.
Right. Yeah.
I remember like I didn't want to eat anything because I only ate like mac and cheese on that trip.
Really?
Yeah. And now like I love all foods.
Right.
Yeah. Give me that lamb.
Yes.
I want a gyro.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. I used to be so picky with food when I was a kid. Or not like super picky. I mean, but compared to like what I will eat now, which is just about anything. Like when I was a kid, I just was not.
I wish I was a picky eater.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I eat everything. Everything is good.
Yeah. Now I wish I was. Yeah. As a kid. No.
Yeah. But I just hate being that like guy that like when somebody has something and you like, oh, I don't like the this on it.
Oh, oh no. I mean, I wish I had that problem. I'm just like, oh, like, I'm sorry. I'll pass on that one. But yeah. Instead I eat it.
Yeah.
Put on weight.
Oh man. Well, Jason, has there been any like crazy wedding stories? I mean, is it like a bridezilla or like a crazy best man speech or like anything like that you've experienced in any of these weddings? Because obviously you're going to a lot of them.
Yeah. I get that question all the time. And honestly, there's so many that they kind of blend together sometimes.
It's really that bad. Like there's.
Yeah. Cause I've probably done what? Like 500 weddings at this point. Fuck. Like it's a lot. But yeah, I mean, I remember a couple. So like, I guess crazy story. I don't know. I guess I'll also say their names. I guess.
Yeah, so let's leave the names out of it. We can just say bride and groom.
Yeah, we have like, I mean, I've seen too many grooms get too drunk and not like make it through the reception. Like one didn't make it to the reception at all.
No
like,
shit.
No entrance, no cake cutting, nothing.
Wow.
They had to like carry him up to his room.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Oh. So luckily I'm really good at the video. Yeah, I hit a lot of things. And
I was able to CGI him.
Yes.
Looking like Tupac on stage.
Yeah. And I'm all for guys having fun, but like,
it's the biggest day of your life.
Yeah. Guys, we can hold together. No shit. Get to the reception, open dance floor, then
start
drink all you want.
Yeah. It's like once you get through all the events and all the things, like there's a time and a place.
Well, I will say, having been a part of weddings, I just got married at a courthouse, so I didn't really get to have that wedding. Or experience that, but like having been in weddings, I mean, you eat in the morning, but then you're not eating again until, and even when you do, it's like you get a bite,
snacks
you get
on the
a,
bus
you get a, yeah, it's not really like you're getting to eat. So it's like, boy, guys, watch that alcohol because it'll hit you pretty
you
quick.
Gotta hydrate.
Yeah.
And I say like the secret is liquid IV.
That's
a super helpful, like I'm always like give, I actually just bring them and like I'll give them to the groom or something sometimes. And that's how I survive because I don't have time to drink much water. And you're always ask any wedding videographer or photographer, they're always dehydrated by the end of the day. So that's one thing I've been doing to help. It's just like, because I have to chug this one water between the ceremony and reception.
Right. So you got your hands are full and you're running around. Yeah. It's like you're just not, and you get so busy, you're not thinking about it. You know, it's game time. You know, because it's like, you can't go back and recapture these moments. It's like, oh, no, go back and do that again. You know,
Yes, exactly. And I think that's like the biggest thing is like you have to be ready for everything. I always like tell my employees, like, you have to, it's not about just capturing the moment. You have to be thinking about the next moment. So, like, okay, we're cutting the cake, but I have to know that they're about to do the first dance next. And that's a different setup. I have to move cameras and stuff. So I always have to think one step ahead at least. So, but that's made me really good at what I do. So,
So, now, how did COVID impact your business? Like, how did it change?
It was wild year.
It changed everything. I mean, businesses in general. I'm just curious how it affected yours.
So I was very like fortunate in the sense. So going into COVID, I was actually saving to buy a house, and I'm pretty like I try to be very financially responsible. Like I want to put 20% down, and I literally put an offer on a house, and then like one day later they're like they're closing everything down for COVID. I'm like, oh God. Yeah. and luckily they didn't accept the offer for whatever reason. I think it went under because that's at the time you could still do that.
Yeah.
Because I think my agent's like, well, things are getting weird in the market and it's been on for 2 months. Just, you know, go a little less. Yeah. And they didn't accept it. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened because luckily I had that money to help finance the company. And I didn't have to cut any employees and stuff during the time.
That's good.
So there was a couple of weeks when like, it was really dead because I was like, can we do real estate? Can we not? You remember it was like
we were still doing real estate. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a 2 week period that felt like it was like real awkward. And then real estate just boomed. I mean, we got swamped. I would say it's probably like 10 times. We started doing like 10 times the amount of real estate work during COVID. And it was everyone at the time before that point, 2020, video was like for the $1 million house or $1 million plus house. Like you didn't do it on a $300,000 house or something. Right. It was only the super high end houses. And then COVID happened. Like, everyone has to have video. Like, you have to have it if you're going to list it, and you need 360 and you need, you know, floor plans and all this stuff. So that really helped. And we did a ton. All of our weddings, luckily, I mean, there was a while we couldn't shoot any weddings, but we just rescheduled them for next year and stuff. So I had those deposits still, because we take a little deposit for every wedding.
Yeah.
So that helped finance the company. So yeah, I mean, overall, we actually went up in sales over 2020.
That's awesome.
I think it was like a 10% increase in sales, which,
even with the, I'm sure it was significantly less weddings.
Right? Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's just like really people just froze. I mean, we did a lot of backyard weddings. Oh, and we started doing live streaming.
Oh,
so okay. Luckily I had helped some companies out with live streaming in the past.
Like,
I
didn't have streaming what?
Weddings.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. And basically, just like events.
Basically just have the bride and groom and the immediate family and then
live streaming. In a backyard. Yeah. It's like five people in a backyard and we're live streaming it so all their friends and family around the country can watch. So I started offering that. And that really boomed too. So that helped. And I even got like asked to be in a magazine and do like an interview about like live streaming weddings, cause it was like a kind of a newer concept.
Sure.
So I think that helped too. So, I mean, we did a ton of live stream weddings that year.
Now do they live stream on YouTube or?
Yeah, we just stream to YouTube and our website.
Okay. Well, so after this, we're going to talk, cause we're having some issues. We've done a couple of live stream podcasts and last one we did.
Really?
An issue.
They would do fight companions for our big MMA or a few big UFC fights.
Yeah.
So,
fans of the UFC, and a lot of the people we have on the podcast are fighters and stuff. And so we'll help put the UFC fights on, and we'll just like kind of talk about them while they're going on. And
yeah,
the last one we did, you know, it was, you know, we found out kind of during the process, and we're like, well, I guess
the audio is super
choppy. Audio is just like cutting in and out really, really bad. And
from the live stream or from your.
It was just on the live stream.
Like, so we were recording everything like this. So we ended up going back and editing it out by putting this audio to it. But like during the live, it was really choppy.
Yeah, definitely.
We take, I don't know if it was like a Wi-Fi connection or what, but
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, well, we can, you know, hash that out after this, you know, just to see if you have any pointers for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was one little problem we've ran into, but you know.
And so going back to the business, it seems like you're very creative when it comes to adapting to certain situations. What are some other things that you've done with your business in terms of the wedding shooting, like adding anything else to that aspect of it, or with real estate photography, you mentioned of adding the videos to it and then like the 3D stuff. Do you do any of the 3D stuff like that too? Or
yeah, a lot of it's more like floor plans and like 360. Gotcha. I mean, 360, everyone was doing that during COVID.
Right.
I feel like Zillow launched something then, and they were like super pushing it. If you did a 360, like ranked it up in Zillow, I think.
Yeah, they still do that.
Yeah, so it doesn't seem that very popular now. I don't have many agents asking me about it now.
Well, because I think the way Zillow does it, if I'm not mistaken, you have to be a selected agent in a certain area. I think they only do a certain amount of, at least that's the way it's been described to me, that they only do like a certain amount of agents per market that they allow that for now, I think. So it makes those listings stand out more. So I guess it's more like desirable to be a Zillow Premier agent or whatever it is. I don't know.
That's probably
been, it's been fine. You know, I've done it a couple times, and it's you know, I don't necessarily know if it helps that much, but you know, if I'm always just thinking like, oh, it's a couple, you know, it's obviously more costs associated with it, with, you know, paying for the 360 videos and then paying for the Zillow Premiere and stuff. But you know, for some of those higher end listings that you just kind of want to make sure that it goes well, I'm like, I'll put the extra money toward it.
Yeah. And I think it's tough with the 360 though, because you see everything, like everything. And like, so it's like, okay, you can make sure the house is perfection.
Yeah.
Cause that's like, as sometimes people want it, I'm like, okay, well, like one house I shot was like $1 million house. Their dining room, at the time they had me come out there to shoot it, it was like, they had a huge like
chandelier,
like they ripped off a painting off the wall or something. And it was like the walls all messed up. I'm like, I can't fix this in a 360 tour. Like it's not.
Right, you can't edit that out.
No. so they could see all that, and you can't just not have the dining room or whatever in the, you know.
Tour.
So right. I think honestly, and maybe it's not the best thing, but a lot of agents like to control what people see in the house. Like with video, that's the nice thing, is we're showing the highlights. We're showing the best parts of the house, in which, I mean, if you're going to buy a house, you're going to go see it. So you're going to want to see all the rooms then. So.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I always say the photo. the photos are just kind of like the, like you said, the highlights. It's like the advertisement to get someone in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like no one, very few people, you know, I've helped a couple people buy it, you know, buy houses that they've never walked through before.
Yeah.
But which is always
usually investors.
Yeah, it's usually investors. But yeah. Usually investors. But it's just, it is always kind of nerve wracking when they finally go into it for the first time. Like, well, hope you like it. You know, because like, we've made it pretty far into this transaction. And if you don't like it at this point, like, eesh,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But
what about on the wedding side of things? How did you, what have you done to adapt and or add other services?
Yeah. So the last couple of years, like, our goal is like, I'm pretty happy with what we offer. It's just like add-on. So like real estate photography. Now we do floor plans. We got in the 360 tours. We do like, I have a huge demand now for like property lines and stuff. So we like added that to our packages. And like people want to put like the square footage and like acres and stuff on that. We have like wedding wise. I'm never going to do wedding photography. I've done a couple weddings as a photographer. It's just not my thing. Mm-hmm. And also, like, we have so many wedding photographers that recommend us. I don't want to compete against them. So we just offered, like, last year we launched, well, actually 2 years ago, I launched a photo booth side of the company.
That's
so now,
cool.
Now we do photo booths with weddings. And also, we use them for a lot of events. And I find it just be a good way as a sponsorship thing. Like, a lot of nonprofits, I just donate our photo booth and it has Metrospec's name on it.
Yeah.
And just helps get the name out. And then, we also just, brought on a DJ. So now we can do DJing at weddings and corporate events and stuff. It was just the guy that actually DJed my wedding, left the company he was working for. And I'm like, you know, let's work together. So we kind of partnered up. And so we've been offering packages and stuff. It's starting to get some like, motion on that. So, but that's like brand new. We just have like launched it a couple months ago.
No, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the tripod method.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I know it's like really corny, but I always say like, I believe in like the tripod method of business, which I kind of just made it up. But to me, I just think of like, you have a tripod, maybe not these tripods, but
talking about our shitty tripods. You Jason know, comes in scoping out our equipment. Like, oh, these guys, yeah. Amateur, fucking amateurs.
They're great for you guys. But, yeah. So like you've seen a monopod. It's one leg. If you let go of it, it's going to fall over.
Right.
So I like tripod because it's three legs. I always like see Metrospec as like a tripod with three legs of the company. It's weddings, real estate, and I say corporate work. Which corporate, I just say corporate, but it's commercial, small businesses. It's just all summed up in one word. So yeah. And I kind of think like once I did that and diversified the company, because if I just did weddings and during COVID, I probably would have gone bankrupt. Or I wish, at least I would have let my employee go. If I just did real estate at times, I wouldn't be able, I mean, I wouldn't be making that much of a profit. So, and the corporate stuff is really hard to get. So it's all together, like mix these three together. It's a really good balance. And like in the winter right now, like, well, January, like there wasn't a ton of real estate stuff, because especially in St. Louis of all that ice storm we had,
yeah.
Like everyone kept pushing stuff off. So like real estate shoes got pushed back to this week.
Yeah.
I've been super busy this week. So yeah. And then, so that was okay, because we leaned on our corporate work, because they still needed content videos. They still needed other things. So. And we still have the weddings we're editing right now from like December and stuff like that. And weddings are slow during the winter. Believe it or not, a ton of people don't get married in February and January. Yeah. You know, it's cold.
In Missouri. Yeah.
Yeah. Once March gets back, we're going to be swamped again with a ton of weddings. So
you got a bunch on the books.
Yeah. So I do think this will be the first year we'll probably actually decline in weddings for the first time. But I mean, that's actually just like the whole market in general. I think everyone's bookings are down the last 2 years, which I'm proud to say last year we actually went up. We did 8 more weddings than we did the year before, which I don't know of any wedding videography companies, at least in St. Louis, that actually did more last year. So it is starting to decrease a little bit. And I think it's a balancing thing. It's just like COVID was a huge wave. Everybody had to have video and stuff. So it's a little bit of that. And I think the economy, like people are just like, not always a priority to get wedding videography. Mm-hmm. So it's slowed down a little bit. So
at what point in the process when you're wedding planning should somebody reach out to a videographer? I mean, I know like you're booking the spaces, years in advance, you know, things like that. You're setting your date. Like if you were to recommend a bride and, you know, future bride or the brides and grooms, when do you recommend them reaching out to you to get you on the books for videography?
I mean, I'd say number one at the beginning, but I would definitely say you need to do it after you book your venue. So if you had to, like, if you really need a precise, like, way to do it, I would do your venue first in the church. You got to make sure they both work on the same day if you're getting married in church or outside or whatever. And then you need to book your photographer and videographer. But you kind of want to coordinate with all three of them if you really know, like, a videographer you want or a photographer you want, because maybe they're available. Yeah, but the venue is not available or vice versa. So it's kind of a balancing act. But typically, I'd say book the venue first. Yeah, sooner the better. But we have a lot of people last minute. Someone gifts, you know, money and like, oh, they wanted videography, but they couldn't afford it. So they hired us like a month out. I don't know what happened last year. We had like four weddings where the videographers like didn't like canceled on them or like disappeared. Like there's some scam artists. I'm like, well, yeah, you have to be careful who you hire. If someone's like charging a couple $100 for a wedding video, they're probably not legit.
Right.
So I don't know if that was the case, but we had so many people. I had one person, like, they actually like broke their ankles, a wedding videographer. They reached out to us and asked me to shoot their wedding for them. We helped them out, which I think is nice about Metrospect. And the reason why I have employees is like, what if I get sick? Mm-hmm. What if I break my arm and I can't shoot a wedding? I mean, I would still be there, but you know, and I have been
in a sling holding a camera or something.
I mean, I'm that type of person. I will be there, but stuff happens. It's like, that's why I have employees. I have a team. This isn't like, you know, like what if Zach hired me to shoot his real estate photos and I was planning on being there, but I got sick that day.
Right.
And that's a problem with like one person teams. I mean, you have to start out that way. But I think that's like an advantage I have with my company. Cause I wouldn't say we're massive, like a, you know, a big company or anything, but we're also like, we're not just a one person band.
Gotcha. So how many weddings do you already have booked out for this year?
I think we're at 50.
Okay.
So that's incredible. So about a little less than half of what we had last year, but that's pretty normal
for this time of the year.
Yeah.
I'm sure some more will roll in for sure. Yeah.
Like I said, typically, I mean, people probably book about 2 or 3 months out in advance. Typically. So,
well, yeah, I mean, but it probably makes it easy for budgeting and making sure like, hey, this is where we're at. This is what revenue we're going to have coming in the future. Cause it's not like they're canceling their videographers very often. Right.
No.
Right.
Every once in a while, get a couple that breaks up or something, but no. And even like one, I had one couple, she hired us. They broke up, the couple, and she got married like 2 years later and hired us again.
Yeah.
And I actually transferred her deposit because I tell them like, well, I'm really sorry, but we fund deposits. Like, and that's just like a standard practice. Mm-hmm. But I will transfer it. So if they get married later on down the road, it's theirs.
Yeah.
So,
call me. Yeah.
Yeah.
The same people that they broke up and then got
different,
back together.
She met a different guy.
Oh, gotcha.
So, same chick, different guy.
Yes. And I was like, wow. Yeah. Like, but they, I mean, I was like, it seemed like a much better relationship. So I'm like, good for you.
So you never just see weddings. You're like, yeah, I don't think these people are going to make it.
You see it. You don't say it.
Well, obviously.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not something you want to say to someone.
I always hope the best, but
for sure.
Sometimes you're worried. Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've been to some weddings before and it's like, oh, I knew you guys as a couple, you know, just as boyfriend, girlfriend, you guys fought a lot. So it's like, you know, hope you guys can make it, you know, kind of thing.
And I feel like, you know, you guys know weddings and stuff like that's like kind of like that's a stressful day sometimes. Doesn't need to be, but sometimes it always is. Yeah.
At least in my experience, it always seems to be somebody that always seems to be stressed out, either usually the bride.
Yeah. Or the mother of the bride.
Mother of the bride. Yeah.
Yeah.
Too.
People always say like you have issues with bridezillas. Really? No. It's really the moms.
Really?
Yeah. So, and luckily with video, a lot of people don't know video. So like, I don't know. It's not as bad. I feel like they're more momzillas, or you want to call them, to the photographer, which is nice for us. Yeah. But
make sure you guys get the shot.
Yeah, because you guys can cut. I mean, obviously, you know, if you're doing a lot of cuts and a lot of, you know, you cut out a lot more stuff than you can with photos, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, photos, I mean, I definitely feel like they can hide stuff a lot easier. We can have Photoshop.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, technically we can, but it is very difficult.
Sure.
Do you do a lot of drone footage and stuff like that for weddings now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty much every wedding. I always tell people I actually don't charge for it because I can't control the weather and I can't control like, you know, FAA restrictions and stuff. So I don't want to promise. I'm strongly, if I promise you something, 100% I'm going to get you that. So I always tell them like it's 98% of the time we can get that drone up in the air. We can fly it. But if it's super windy or something, we don't, the videographer doesn't feel it's safe to fly, I tell them don't fly. Because we're not going to hurt someone just for a drone shot.
Right. Because don't they have to get like certified, like their special certifications and like FAA certifications to fly?
Yes. Yeah, we all have to do that. So it's a lot.
What are some of the FAA restrictions? And like, is
so like you can't fly, you can't fly by an airport and stuff like that. Just a couple places downtown with like, especially real estate too, is an issue. And there's like helicopter pads downtown. Like, I know, like that apartment building next to Barnes. You can't fly over there. So, it's always like sometimes we'll shoot houses and they're near an airfield. I actually shot a wedding at an airport. I was like, well, just so you know, I can't fly the drone.
Yeah, definitely can't do the air.
An active drone. Airport.
Yeah.
That's an interesting location for
a wedding. Yeah, you wouldn't think.
And it was a small town. They had like, it was like a Mid-America like vibe airport. Like it wasn't so tiny, but it wasn't like, you know. Right. St. Louis International Airport or anything. And it was actually nice. They had like a nice lobby area and they used it for the ceremony.
Cool.
What's been one of your favorite venues that you've been to for a wedding here in St. Louis?
Well, I would say there's a lot of great venues, but I'm biased because I got married in Union Station.
I was going to say that.
So I love it there. I love that the light shows include it and stuff. And I love architecture and like the old vibe. And like to me, it was extra special. So like my dad passed away 7 years ago and he was a huge like Lionel train buff and like love collecting. It was really cool to get married in like a train station.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
that's kind of one of those spots where I always thought like if I do get married and have an actual wedding, that's where it would be. Yeah. So
yeah, it's beautiful. Cool. And but there's a ton of great venues in St. Louis and it's, you know, you can get the barn vibe. You can get the historic, like, you know, classy vibe. You can get something modern and sleek. It's nice. There's a lot of good options here.
For sure. There definitely is. Yeah. Talk to me about AI and like how has that affected your business?
I have a love-hate relationship with AI.
Okay. Let's get into that.
So as a real estate photographer, AI is amazing.
Okay. Why is that?
It's making Photoshop and stuff so much easier. Like just the other day, we had to take a dumpster out for a client that was next to our house that they left it, you know, like, the construction crew was like cleaning out. They left it and I was supposed to pick it up. Man, it took like 30 seconds. We got rid of that thing.
Really?
Back in the day, I don't even know if we could have done it. It was so close. The AI fixed it. It's pretty incredible. It's not perfect for sure. It doesn't always work. But a lot of times it does a pretty good job. That sense has been really great.
Okay. So real estate photography, we'll give it a thumbs
up. A+, yeah.
Right. What's some of the setbacks or what don't you like about it?
So a video, it's not super effective yet.
How do they use it for video or how is it advertised it's being used for video?
I would say there's probably two main ways. Like number one, like removing things or kind of like Photoshop, but it's not very good at all. I'm seeing it like they're doing like Premiere After Effects has this extended clip now. So you could choose something that's 3 seconds long. And it will estimate what the next couple like seconds would look like. And it will add on to the video clip and make it longer, which is a cool concept.
That's pretty
cool. Yeah,
that is really cool.
But our testing has been pretty bad. Really? So pretty bad. But I've heard some people using it. So,
You know, it's, you gotta think it's still pretty early. So, you know, hopefully in the next few years.
Yeah.
Like who knows where that can go. And I'm sure it's going to only improve, you know, just like maybe look at, we're on ChatGPT, like what 4. Something, you know, looking back at what I never used it when it was in the earlier stages, but like I would imagine it's grown exponentially.
Well, I mean, every time you type something in or something new is posted, it's picking that up. It's just insane.
Yeah.
But what kind of trends do you see moving forward within the videography in each one of your three pillars? You know, anything to keep an eye out on or something that, or anything that you're like seeing moving forward to adapt to?
Yeah. I mean, AI using it, everyone's using ChatGPT for like content ideas and stuff, which I think is good. And we've used it a couple of times just like to get started with a script, which I think is cool. And just like, if you're someone like me, you just need a jump off point. Mm-hmm. So like, I think that's really cool to use. I do see AI like helping with like, especially like podcasts, there's AI software that will cut this together real easy and quickly. And that's pretty good. The only thing is it doesn't, like when you guys watch a movie conversation between two people, you'll notice like sometimes they cut to the other person talking like you get the person talking and then it'll cut to the reaction of the other person. Mm-hmm. That's a natural way to have a scene play out. AI only knows it cuts when talking, it talks. So you'll see it like, hi. And then like it cuts immediately to that person. So it's technically right, you know, right. So it is, but
it doesn't do like that human touch.
Yes.
You know, so it doesn't get that.
Yeah. So like, let's say if Zach was over here, I'm talking, Zach's crying. Yeah. You're not, it's not going to cut to that.
Right.
So
just tell me more about AI, Jason.
Yeah. So that's kind of like, it's still nice to have the human touch, or at least you need to like, as a human editor, you need to go in and just like adjust it. And that's what like we've done. If we do use it, which we haven't used it too much on video yet, but we use it for Photoshop for sure. I think like, as far as like Instagram, like social media and stuff like that, obviously shorter vertical content, like the way to go. We're really working out the kinks right now, but we're trying to like give clients vertical and horizontal video at the same time.
Really? What does that mean?
So when you do like Instagram or TikTok, it's a square, you know, a rectangle, I guess, technically. But when you watch like a house tour video, you go on Zillow and you're at your laptop, which I feel like
portrait versus landscape.
Exactly. Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And everyone calls it differently. Like us video people will say like that, the dimensions, aspect ratios and stuff. And you have like real estate people that say portrait or you know, vertical, you know, yeah. So it's like everyone, it's funny that everyone calls it a little bit different. But yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, so I think we're trying to work out better ways to do both at the same time. Cause right now, if you want both, I would shoot it wide, you know, horizontal and stuff. And then I would edit it and crop it in and stuff, and make it vertical for Instagram. But it's kind of a lot of work to do that. So we're trying to actually rig two cameras at once that you can shoot both at the same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting. Like connect them or how does that?
So
rig or is it?
We've been mounting an iPhone to our normal video camera.
Okay.
And we just shoot both at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And then we just sync the clips together and we're trying, and you have to adjust everything. It's still work. But we're trying to figure out better ways to streamline that. I think that's really a need in this community, is that real estate clients or agents want both.
Yeah. Well, especially for, I mean, you know, we definitely want the vertical stuff for,
well, there's
for social media stuff.
I have an idea for you. Create a camera that sits on top of another camera instead of not having to use your iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, invent that with the clip.
It's like a big old rig.
Yeah.
Like one of those.
The problem is the stuff gets heavy.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So, that makes sense.
Like a GoPro.
You have to get like one of those, like, I've seen those ones where the guys wear it, where it's like almost like a belt.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I see those people, like wedding videographers use that stuff and like have the belt and the whole rig. I'm like, that's just like overkill. I'm like, that's got to get in the way. And like, sure, it'd be nice to have, but I feel like it just gets in the way. And like, just work up your back muscles.
Yeah, you got to just work out.
Mix in some squats and some,
yeah.
Work that back.
Yeah. Pull ups.
Yeah. Oh, and then I also was going to say, like, I think the future, too, I think we're finally starting to get back into, like, the filmmaking and storytelling on social media. I think it's going to be coming back to not just, here's a cool effect. Let me do fireworks on this video clip. You know, it's tell a story, you know, especially, like, when I started out, I even, like, with like real estate videos, I tried to tell a story of a house. And now it's gotten to the point it's more like, let's make this cool. Let's make it,
quick,
fast, you know. Now, like, I think it's really important to, like, maybe not necessarily real estate as much. If the agent's in the video, I do think it's important.
Sure.
But, yeah, like, it's about storytelling again. I think that stuff's coming back.
I feel like that's right up your alley with kind of your origins in this. Now, do you see yourself ever going back to kind of doing some of these more passion projects and kind of making films or making anything like that?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's what you want to get.
I got asked to DP a short film.
Cool.
Hopefully, I'll be probably in the summer.
Sweet.
And it's a horror film.
Cool.
That was
like here locally?
Yeah. So sweet. Local filmmaker. So hopefully they get the funding and stuff and it'll happen.
That'd be fun.
So yeah. And I want to do that. I would love to get back to going to film festivals and stuff. But I still like the company. We're at a weird point right now. I'm still like trying to get the systems running up and making it run smooth.
So you can kind of like
have a little bit more free time.
More free time. You can you know, do less in the day to days and be able to kind of step back and do kind of the more your passion project fun stuff that you always wanted to do.
Yeah. My dream is not to work 6 days a week.
No.
So during wedding season, I do work 6 days.
Sure.
So, and like, that's like the thing is like, I strive really hard with the company right now and I do put a lot of time in. So my goal is hopefully once I start to have a family, I can actually have weekends off and spend more time with my family and actually be there for my kids and stuff. So I'm trying to make the sacrifice now instead of later. So I'm just like full foot on the pedal right now, trying to accelerate the company as fast as I can. I can have it at the point when I do have a family. So
now those are personal goals for you. Do those match up with what you see with Metrospect as a whole, going more towards those projects that you're looking to, or do you want to keep in those same three pillars and, or maybe even add in a fourth pillar for what it is that you're talking about?
Yeah. I think we might down the road, like, want to start almost like a marketing agency or some type of social media, like, side of the company.
It's gotten so big.
Yeah, it's so big. And I'm probably going to hire someone full time to help me run that. Because there's so much, it's an ever changing thing. Right now, we're in talks with people, like, trying to partner with people. Hopefully that works out, and then I'll just do that way. But I think down the road, we might, like, have our own, like, I don't know. It's going to be more social media, because we work with a lot of marketing agencies, but they do, like, more TV, like, print ads, stuff like that. So not as much, like, social media content and stuff. So
now, have you got, obviously you said you're working with like a lot of, or a handful of social media people, or like just people that you're just making like content for them?
Yeah. So, we've had, like, I had a social media company in Washington, Missouri. They just want to up their, like, content. And so they're having us, like, shoot their videos and stuff now, instead of just using an iPhone. So they want to make it look cool.
Sure.
So we're kind of working with those people and trying to figure that out. It's really hard to, like, price content. Like, I don't know, just, like, content.
I know we've talked about this and, like, a couple times before, and just because it's, like, it's kind of a new frontier, you know, as far as, you know, for a lot of people that were just been doing, you know, your standard, you know, videography, photography. Like, I feel like social media is just kind of a whole other thing.
Yeah. And that's, like,
it's gotta be shot differently. Like, as you said, it's gotta mix everything different.
100%. Like, what does it say? Like, a microbrewery approached me and they need a 2-minute video for their website. And they want to, like, show everything, you know, like, okay, well, that's one day of filming. So I can figure out the pricing there. If they, you know, maybe they need a couple photos and stuff, I can figure that out. But if that microbrewery came to me and was like, hey, I need 30 social media videos and they're 15 seconds or less. Okay, well, hold on.
That's a different one.
That's a little bit more tough to figure out than, like,
all the short stuff.
Videos. So that's what we're, like, you know, I wouldn't say struggling, but figuring out now is, like, trying to package it differently. And also, like, a lot of those production, like, we get to over the top of our productions. Like, we have way too many lights and stuff, but we wanted to look as best as it can. So, like, how do we slim that down, make it easier, more streamlined? For, like, you know, small businesses that aren't going to have that type of budget and stuff.
Sure.
So, yeah.
It's awesome. Just what you've created I didn't know you've been doing it for 17 years. That's crazy to me. That's so cool.
I always say, like, my biggest gift I've ever got was that I knew from the beginning I love cameras and, like, I want to be in this field. I think I listened to one of you guys' podcasts not too long ago when, like, you guys talked about how people get their degree, like, college degrees, and actually don't work in that field.
Yep, that's me.
So, I'm like, I'm one of the few people that probably actually do work in the field that they studied. I've just been gifted that.
You and all the lawyers and doctors out there.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, man, Jason. Well, this was a lot of fun, man. I really appreciate you, you know, coming in today. And, one last question before we get you out of here.
End it with the last one called the Tombstone Game. Here lies Jason. What's it say on your tombstone?
Oh, I don't know. I want to say, like, great father or something, but I don't have kids. So that doesn't work. I don't know. I just want to be remembered as, like, a good person that's honorable and, like, a man of his word and stuff. And, like, I know I feel like sometimes that doesn't happen as much anymore. And that's just, like, really important to me. When I promise something, I keep my word. I don't know. I guess to keep it simple, here lies Jason, a good man.
That's great. Love it.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. If you could, please click that subscribe button if you haven't already. That would help us out a ton. Click that like button as well. Comment what you thought below, and we will see you next time.